right, hello and welcome to another of the Long Ball Football pre-season preview shows. And this time we're talking all things Porto. And we've got our man Jason from the Porto Podcast in English. Mate, how are you doing? How's things?
Doing great. I mean, coming off a big win. I couldn't be happier. I mean, that was just an epic comeback. But yeah, everything's good. And I don't know. I'm excited to see what this coach can do and what he can do with the academy kids.
We've got so much to talk about. I think of all of the top four clubs we've done these episodes on, you know, each of the top four clubs, I think it's probably fair to say Porto summer's been the most chaotic, and that's without even making a signing yet, which we will come on to. I don't know how far back we should take this, because obviously the kind of extent of the changes over the summer go as far back as obviously André Villas-Boas becoming the new president. That doesn't really count as this summer, but I would be just interested quickly to get your thoughts, because we haven't chatted to you about that, and me and Barney covered it briefly at the time, but just how you felt about that whole situation. Obviously a change in president after such a long time, and former manager coming in, was that something you were pleased about, something you were excited about?
Yeah, I was excited. I mean, I witnessed him win the Europa League. He was a great coach. You could tell he bleeds blue. I've been saying it for about 3 to 4 years now that Pinto Costa's reign has been over. You can even argue it's been like 5 years. He's given the club so much, and I just didn't want him to become the villain. And he was getting there, right? He was getting lucky. He was getting a few trophies along the way, but it was chaos in the club. And between just like rumors of scandals and bribery and all that stuff, it was time for the new reigns to take over. And I was glad to see it was Villas-Boas, because I didn't know who it was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be Victor Villa. I didn't know who was going to step in. But honestly, I'm glad it's Villas-Boas. He's made some strides.
Absolutely.
And did you feel, I was going to say, sorry, did you feel that it was Conchisal's end as well at the end of this season?
Yeah, so I thought he stayed a season too long. Not that I was upset with him. I love the guy. He's like, to coach Porto is no easy task, right? Like, it's the city itself is just a different place. I don't know if you've ever been there, but like, you can't just bring in a foreigner. It's like, it just doesn't work often. Like, there's been foreigners that came in, like Bobby Robson, and they've had success, but it's not common that a foreigner comes in. You kind of need to know what the North is about and the attitude, and you got to instill that in the club and keep it going. So I think he did that well. He won plenty of trophies. I thought he overachieved with what he had at many times. I think he had 1 year where he had a phenomenal team. Other than that, it was just beyond mediocre sides. And I love the guy. I know a lot of people hate his antics, but honestly, if that's my coach, I'm excited, because if you want to go to war, that's essentially what sports is. Like, that's what you want in your corner.
It's 100%. It's what me and Barney said so many times about Conchisal. It's like, when he's the guy you want managing your team. You don't want him managing the other team. You don't want to, you know, the fans of the other teams hated him, but yeah.
Absolutely.
It was, so it was interesting to see him go. Obviously, once Conchisal did leave, the next question was, of course, who's going to be the next manager? And I think that was a bit of an unknown entity, right? You know, for all the fact there were a lot of people talking about wanting Conchisal to leave, there weren't a lot of people talking with any specifics about who they would really want to come in. Obviously, it then transpired that it was going to be one of his former assistants, Vitor Bruno, coming in. That whole situation in itself was quite strange. Take us back to that time. How did you feel at the time hearing that news? And also, were you kind of one of those people that was a little bit almost displeased with the nature of one of his assistants being given the role? Because I know the man himself was a bit upset by that whole situation.
I personally wasn't upset. I didn't follow the situation close enough, right? A lot of times I don't like to follow the Portuguese media per se. There's a lot of, I don't know, just BS in it, whether it's bias or just nonsensical comments. So I really don't follow it closely. So I wasn't even aware that was going to be one of his assistants. Mentally, I was convinced it was going to be Pepin Linders with Klopp's exit. Mm-hmm. And Pepin was he actually coached in the academy, and he was very familiar with a lot of the academy kids, and he was very successful, and he's a great coach. He was a tactician over at Liverpool. Like, he ran all the tactics there. So I was convinced he was going to come here. And then once I saw he was signed, I had no clue who was going to be. And once I saw Vitor Bruno, I was actually pretty pleased, because, I mean, if we really want to talk about Conceição and the amount of games he was suspended, Bruno was your guy. Like, he already had the experience. He managed the club already. He knows these guys. He knew the academy guys. I mean, he's the perfect fit, especially for like a transition period. He's a comfort pick. He's a smart guy. He like I don't know. We got lucky. Let's just put it that way. Because this is not for Conceição to leave and another guy to step up. It's no easy task. Like I said, he overachieved with what he had. Like there was so many times. Like we would look, left back Case was terrible. Like we had no left back for a bit. Guy couldn't pass a ball. Our right back was good with the ball at his feet, but he couldn't defend. Center backs were old. They were injured half the season. So we had so many complications. And for Conceição to do that, and this guy to experience all that and the difficulties, the ups and downs, I think he's well prepared for this.
Were you surprised perhaps that I think the assumption would have been that with the new regime coming in terms of the president, they would have made wanted to make maybe a statement appointment or something to say that we're going to head in a new direction. It might be easy then to assume that appointing the former manager's assistant is the opposite of that. It's keeping things the same. But how did you feel about that?
I was fine with it. So Porto is an interesting spot, right? They have the UEFA regulations going on, so they have to be careful financially. So, like we're pretty fortunate that our academy's finally stepped up. I mean, when growing up, it was only Sporting's academy. That was it. And now Benfica and Porto's academy stepped up big. And I mean, to me, Vitor Bruno, he's a breath of fresh air because I think he's a completely different manager than Sergio, and I think they balance each other out well. So I was fine with them keeping the old reins. Like I said, in Porto, you cannot, like, drastic change is almost non-existent, right? Like you just can't do it. The culture in itself is you instill Porto, the guerra, the fight, the war. Like it's not something you're just gonna get some guy like Xavi to coach Porto, right? Like that's not gonna happen. He's not gonna fit here. The fans are gonna boo him out. He can't take the pressure. Like it's just a different place.
Totally. Well, obviously we have had a chance to see Porto under Vitor Bruno one time. should we get stuck into that game? Because
Yeah, why
it was honestly crazy. It was an amazing way to start the season, really. If anybody doesn't know what I'm alluding to, of course, we had the Supertassa last weekend. I think it's fair to say, and I was guilty of this as well, that many perhaps neutrals or non-Porto fans who for whom we're wondering, I wonder what we're going to see from Porto. Like we know that there's not been really any signings. We know that they've got a new manager and things are new. Maybe there was this kind of thought, I don't know what we're going to get from this team. And when after 25 minutes, Porto find themselves 3-0 down, a lot of assumptions are made about perhaps the state that the club is in and how their season might go. Cut to 18 minutes later, four goal comeback, and I think a lot of those expectations would have been completely flipped on their head. Obviously, an incredibly entertaining game, a lot of drama, but also perhaps not the best representative game of how Porto are going to play all season. It's a strange one, but I'm assuming after the game you would have been delighted, but still a lot to take in.
So, I mean, when we were 2-0 down, I was like, oh, no pep, no party. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be a long season. We lost our leadership. Like, we're very inexperienced. Like, we got a lot of good players, a lot of good young guys, but this is going to be growing pains this year. And then once I heard Galeno score, I was like, all right, the comeback's on. Sporting folds. They can't handle this. I don't care who the coach is. There's no Coates back there. We don't have our old guy. They don't have their old guy. This is game over. We're coming back. And Sporting's ready to fold. Like, this is it. Then I heard Gyökeres, I guess he took a knock. He was limping around. He was injured. He continued on. I was like, well, game's over. Because when Porto gets momentum, doesn't matter who's in there. They're gonna come back. But yeah, I think this game is definitely not gonna be a sample size to tell you what's going to come this season. Like, there's gonna be a lot of changes coming in the next 2 weeks before the transfer window closes, right? I think we're probably gonna see a Chico exit. The Diogo Costa one, I'm not too sure about. I haven't heard too much about it, but after those Euros and him having a good Champions League last season, I'd be convinced that he's gone. So I don't know. Like, this season's up in the air, right? We said Porto have no signings yet, so we really don't know what's going on. But I don't know what Porto is even going to look like in a couple of weeks.
I mean, yeah, interestingly, you talk about the lack of leadership in both teams, because when we spoke to Sam from All Things Avalad about Sporting, and I think he put more Well, he was quite concerned about that departure of Coates and also players like Luis Neto for the Sporting. When I wasn't so much, my biggest concern was with Porto losing Conceição and Pepe for that mentality within the team. But like you said, like the, there was it almost like it didn't really matter, did it? We didn't need those players in that Porto team to get that result. That was what's maybe surprised me a little bit, and perhaps I've undervalued the sort of how that is throughout the whole team. It's, you don't just need to be a 40-year-old Pepe to have that mentality. There's everyone in that team fought back. Really interesting to see Vasco Souza say that, Vitor Bruno was talking about Liverpool in the Champions League against AC Milan, but like that's a young kid, right? And then he's taken that, and then they've come out second half and done what they did. It was I don't know. I think that's I think that really highlights who Porto are and how perhaps I could have underestimated them with the lack of transfer activity. I mean, let's perhaps talk a little bit more about those young players, right? Because they are going to play a real key role this season. Vasco Souza in particular looks like he's made a real impact in that midfield, and there's perhaps a headache there about who to pick and out of those for those three midfield spots. And Martin Tavares as well seems to be just getting better. Did I say Martin Tavares? I
Hernandez.
think I, we were, yeah. We were talking
That's
about
fine.
Bovista before we came on today. But yeah, these young players and with Vitor Bruno's both of them as well, they're going to be key right this season.
Absolutely. I think even like Zé Pedro is gonna be a key guy. I don't know how Vitor Bruno feels about David Carmo. I don't know if that was just a Conceição thing debacle or Vitor Bruno was in the same boat. I don't know if it was Carmo's attitude, what it was, but I think they're gonna make Zé Pedro the man. I think they're going all in on academy guys, but in this transfer window, we need to find just maybe one or two experienced guys to get in that lineup. And Porto will be a solid team for sure. And I think there's going to be guys that show up too who maybe weren't so happy under Conceição, but they liked Bruno, like an even Jaime. I think he's going to show up this season. I think he's excited. I think he feels like he has the shackles off of him. And those probably, honestly, he probably wasn't a good place mentally just because he just didn't enjoy playing for Conceição.
And in effect, they are new signings. Even Fran Navarro, you can include in that, like there was people like out of the squad but coming back in. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Ivan Jones got a will have a huge role this season. What you're talking about needing to bring in more experienced players. What areas do you see that? And are there any rumors that you've hoping that might come through?
I mean, it'd always be nice to see a defender that's experienced, maybe even if it's like an Alex Telles wants to come back, wants to play some European ball. I don't know. He's getting paid well over in the Saudi League, so it could always be tough. But if you can get one experienced defender and maybe one experienced midfielder, and he doesn't have to be a starter, but someone that's been there, been in the Champions League, has the caps, can teach the young guys what to do, and then he's a super sub, like an old João Moutinho or something like that. Just a guy with that mentality. If you can get him in the club, it teaches young guys a lot, and they get better very fast. And you cultivate a culture when you have guys who've been around winning cultures and just been there. Because it's easy to lose your mental when you're young because you just think the sky's falling down. But for example, in this game, you're losing 3-0 to come back 4-3. Like, I can only imagine the pressure you guys felt on your back as a player.
Yeah, it's been also, like you say, you mentioned David Carmo, Fran Navarro, even Jaime. It has been interesting to see those players used. One thing I noticed from not just the Super Task, but also some of the preseason games is the manager using Nomaso up front quite a lot. So he does seem to be someone who's happy to use the players that perhaps weren't used previously, whether that's because of those are the only players he's got available to him, or because he feels he can get something out of those players that Conceição didn't. Does that make you feel more optimistic when you see the likes of Fran Navarro coming on and looking like a decent option up front, and even Jaime scoring a good goal? And I mean, I think everyone can agree that a player like Jaime, if he's got confidence, could be a real asset to Porto. So in a sense, like Barney said, he reminded me of Arsene Wenger, in those Arsenal days when he couldn't sign players. He'd be like, Abu Dhabi is going to be like a new signing coming back from injury. But these players could make an impact in a way that they haven't in previous seasons.
I mean, I was disappointed when he let Fran Navarro go. I thought he's an absolute baller, and we lacked up there last season. I mean, our production was crap, and I think Vitor Bruno is. I think he's more. I think he aimed. He's definitely more of a positive coach. There's no doubt about that. Conceição, once you're on his bad side, it's over. Like you're not coming back. Unfortunately, I mean, the guy benched his son for a season when his son was one of the best players on the club. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just didn't understand. But Hey, he found a way to win games. That was his mentality. But I think Victor Bruno is going to find a way to win games very differently than Conceição. I think Bruno sees the game, I think, a lot differently than Conceição. I think he's more of a tactician, but Conceição is more of a mentality, get the drive, the work rate out of guys. I think Bruno's going to be a fine mix. I think he's definitely going to be more focused on the tactic side,
And
tactical side of things.
I think that's what's perhaps really interesting when thinking about Porto is that because of what happened last season, and in my head at some points I've sort of undervalued the players that they have acquired over the past few years. Like if you look at the midfield of Varela and Nico Gonzalez, do you know, like they're such good players and they have such high potential and all across the pitch as well, you know, like you mentioned Chico and Sal, Ivan Jamie as well. But like it feels like perhaps my or me personally, and I think others as well, people's attitude to the quality of player in Porto's squad is probably not as high as it should be. And I think when you're looking at trying to close the gap between Benfica and Sporting, I've met, yeah, I the Vita Bruno probably is the key aspect in this to sort of bring out the best in those players because there is so much talent in that squad. Even though it did feel like they were so far away from those other two teams last season, I think that yeah, it is achievable for, and it might not take much for them to get back to, you know, challenging for first or second.
Yeah, honestly, so this is, I think, a prime example is you look at a guy like Steven Osakio. Like, yeah, he's a fine player, he's consistent, but I think under Vitor Bruno, he doesn't play as much as he did under
Yeah.
Conceição. I think he had a high work rate, he was very consistent. You knew what you were going to get out of him, he was a safe bet. But I think Vitor Bruno is going to go for a guy like Ivan Jaime who can create and see the spaces and just, I think he just create. He wants to see more creation in the game. I don't think he just wants to see safe bets. I think he's going to take a bit more risk, and I think he just wants to play better football. And I think he'll get the results doing it because I think at the same time, Vitor Bruno is still pragmatic, so he'll continue to have structure, but he'll find a way to allow the guys to flow and take some shackles off. Because I think even guys like Alan Varela, I think he has more to add to the offensive side of the game. But I almost felt like under Sergio, like he was the enforcer and that was it. But I personally think he can make some passes. He can find that final through ball and he's a little more creative than we give him credit for. I think Nico Gonzalez too, he was another one. Like he's a fine player. I didn't understand why he got benched in the beginning of the season. That was mind-boggling. He was one of our better offensive guys. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, what are we doing here? Like we're just trying to tank the season. And you could see he gained his confidence towards the end of the season and Sergio finally started putting him in and the kid's a baller.
You've alluded to it a little bit there with talking about players being a bit more expressive, perhaps, but new regime, new manager. What do you hope will be different this season compared to the last couple?
I want to see more goals. I think just let the kids play. I think we have plenty of talented guys, and I think, and I understand a game like we played versus Arsenal, like that's perfect, right? You're primed for that. Like that tactic is what we have to play. I understand, but in the Portuguese league, when people are going to play low blocks, they're going to pack it in against you. You need to let the guys play because there's no other way to break that down without creativity. Like they have to take chances, and there were so many games where we were happy with just keeping the possession outside the box and not trying something new, and then all of a sudden counterattack and we lose the game. Boom, points gone or tied. So I think you have to let the guys play and let them find ways to break down and be creative and let them be the masterminds because that's what we pay these players to do, right? The coach can only do so much. He's like, I think coach's biggest job is to get the most out of the guys, give them some defensive structure. And then just give them confidence because at the end of the day, so much magic happens on the pitch and you have to allow it to happen. If you're going to shackle the guys, their creativity is going to be stunned.
100%. I mean, it does seem like obviously there has been a lot of changes over the summer. There are still a lot of uncertainties as to who could arrive, who could depart. So in that sense, there is an element of caution, but there are still the seeds of something positive growing at Porto. And I think, I don't know if you would agree, but the thing we have to keep reminding ourselves is that when AVB joined, everyone was saying this is the start of a new project, and perhaps there has to be that patience there, and perhaps we have to allow this to be a transitional season, even with some of the financial side of the club, which has kind of some stuff's come out there. You know, we don't really know the full extent of it, but there's an impression there, but perhaps there's a financial situation that needs to be dealt with. And so, on the one hand, thinking, you know, where are the signings and you know, how are we going to play? But on the other hand, thinking, well, we've got to use this season to get everything in order and build from there.
Yeah, I think so. Porto, for in terms of aspirations this season, they need to make what they need to aspire to do is make the Champions League again. You need the Champions League money. You can fight for the league as long as you're competitive, but the moment you guys drop off, you need to focus elsewhere, whether it's cups and just making sure you're in that top tier place to just get Champions League money. You need that money, and the club needs to be healthy. And at the end of the day, it's not always about the title. As much as we want it to be about the title, you're still running a football club, and you need to think long term.
Absolutely. Well, that was going to be my final question about expectations for the season. But no, I think it's a very, very clear picture about staying competitive, staying organized, and yeah, like I said, building into the future. Because under AVB, this is the start of a long-term project and a new dawn for Porto in a lot of ways. There's a lot of change to happen after 42 years of the same regime. So I think we have to wait for a little bit of patience for that. All right, Jason. That's more than enough for us. So thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Great insight into Porto ahead of the new season. Before you go, do you just want to shout out the Porto podcast and let everyone know where they can find you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we're mainly active on Twitter right now, and it's FC Porto Pod in English. It's Rui and I that run it, and feel free to reach out to us. We're always down to chat. We've been a little inactive, but we will be back when the season starts.
Perfect. No, the guys do a great podcast. I'm looking forward to that coming back, and the Twitter account's great. So we'll put all the links to everything in the description of this podcast for anyone who wants to check it out. But yeah, Jason, thank you so much for joining us, man. And we'll catch you soon.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.